All right, Chaz, welcome back to the grid, December 6th, 2019.
It's been way too long. It feels so foreign.
I know, we really botched it for listeners, but good to be back.
Good to be back.
Back at Album Surf in San Clemente, California.
Prettiest surf shop in the entire world.
Prettiest soft tops in the entire world.
Did you see those down there?
I got photos. I'm going to post them on Instagram.
They're unreal.
Does beauty matter?
Yes. For your soft top?
Sure.
Or in gym for your surfboard?
Sure.
All of it. Yeah, beauty matters as much as anything. Beauty matters as much as brains and people.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
It is very superficial, and yet...
How is it superficial, though? It's no... like I feel to praise the mind over the physical appearance, you're just picking one over the other, right?
No, because it takes effort to get to know the mind.
How does it take effort, though?
Well, you have to talk to somebody and understand kind of their perspective to appreciate their, you know, smarts or their brain.
But what if somebody is putting together a very subtle physical package, right? Like, I'm not talking about just like standard physical beauty, like, but you know, what the clothing people wear, how they put their thing together, right? I mean, it can be as complex, say, as their mind.
That's how I put my aesthetic together.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't like strike you right out of the gates, but it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
You spend more time with me and you're like, oh, wow, he's actually like...
He's putting something, he's doing something.
It doesn't look like he made any effort at all.
And yet,
I like the texture of that fabric.
Boom.
He doesn't wash his hair.
Boom.
And that's why it has such beautiful voluptuousness.
Yeah. Yep.
Volume in it, I don't know. But when it comes to soft tops, is Album the first to... really focus on making beautiful soft tops?
I think so. For sure, because the Catch Surf ones, like that generation, what do we want to call them? Do we want to call the Catch Surf, whatever, generation 2.0?
Yeah.
Soft tops came, let's go through a brief history of the soft top. It started with what?
Who? Doyle.
Yeah, Doyle soft tops, which were just big fat boogie boards, right?
Yeah.
With plastic fins.
And a hard bottom, though.
Yeah, which was cool.
Like a boogie board, you're right.
Sure.
That's exactly
what
it was.
It was a big, big boogie board. And then Catch Surf, I feel, took the Doyle Wavestorm thing and shrunk it.
Well, no, Wavestorm's different than Doyle, wasn't it?
Sure, it is, but it's the same aesthetic. I guess you're right. The Wavestorm took the Doyle and just made a mass, cheap version of it, right?
Same construction, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It feels like a cheaper version of it.
Yeah.
Like those Doyles, I mean... Have you ever ridden one of those Doyles? I think I rode one out in Waikiki many years ago. It was like a 15-foot Doyle soft top. And thing, honestly, a bird would fly by and make a ripple on the water, and you could catch that ripple with that Doyle.
Really?
Those things are tanks. But I honestly think it weighed a good 50 pounds. It was just a humongous foam tank. But I think Wavestorm was cheaper. And then Catch Surf, I feel, came... made the beater, but all they did was shrink it down.
Mm-hmm.
Aesthetically, it didn't change. It still looked like boogie board-ish.
Yeah.
Those albums down there are unlike anything I've ever seen.
Totally. I think there was maybe Catch Surf did introduce this, or other people did, right after Catch Surf, which is like design features in the board. So it's not just...
I think INT was the first one that really did a...
contours on the bottom.
A functional or... cared about function, actual functionality of the soft top.
Yeah, and futures fin systems and stuff like that. Yep. Like actual fin boxes where you could put good fins in them.
Those down there, okay, what is that soft top? What is the Album Sexy soft top? What is it for?
I call them medium performance boards.
Medium performance.
Yeah.
So you go out, and I mean, they look like insane amount of fun. It's the only soft top, I'm going to be honest, that I've ever wanted to climb on top of.
Yeah, it's Wavestorm's definitely low performance but still fun.
Sure.
You know, it would be a stretch to call the Album ones high performance.
I mean, is there a high performance?
It would negate
foamy.
It would, no, it can't be.
Yeah.
I mean, it would really diminish the value of all the other Album surfboards that are on the rack if you did try to put those in the same. They're just not in the same class.
I'm very, very, very curious to go ride one of those foamies.
Have you ever had one? Have you ever owned one?
I own a foam, a soft top.
Yeah, soft top.
I bought an 8-foot Catch Surf when my daughter started to learn how to surf, just so I could paddle her out on the nose. So she would just perch on the nose, and I would paddle in. to Waves and let her just pop up and do whatever she wanted at the nose. But it was not for me.
Right.
It was for her.
My dad talks about wanting to get into surfing or like learn how to surf essentially. And he's come in the water a couple of times. But I think the ideal move for him is like soft top, but SUP soft top.
Ooh.
Because even a soft top longboard, certainly it's going to be easier than a shortboard. But the SUP, it's like a coffee table.
Well, what about it? Why not just go back to the classic? Get a 15-foot Doyle.
I know. That would be the move. I just don't know where one is, and I couldn't transport it even if I got one. You know? We got a bunch to catch up on. What's going on in shark news?
There's a lot going on in shark news.
I see the headlines every day.
I feel, though, again, my good deed. I feel that I've chased at least, at this point, I probably got 1,000 people that aren't surfing because of me.
Is that the ambition?
I wake up every day so pleased with myself.
Here, like, I thought it was all just for website clicks.
No. It's chasing people out of the water. It's all I'm doing.
And how do you even gauge whether it's working or not?
Well, because of the clicks they get. They get a lot of clicks, and so I feel that these are going to a lot of different people. There's a lot of people who are probably on the fence about surfing. A good handful per story who are thinking, maybe I could take this up. They read that. You know what they're thinking? No. That's a scary place. It's a dangerous place. It's forget it. Forget it all. Goodbye. So, again, I think I said it last show, but every VAL, the World Surf League, and the Inertia, and STAB turn on, my goal is to turn one off.
This is genius. Yeah. It's just like my beauty takes a while to really appreciate. Your little diabolical plan took me a while to understand.
Yeah, you thought it was all just random clickbait.
But
it's not.
That actually, you could track the metrics based on the clicks too, because the more time people are clicking and looking at a website, the less time they're spending in the water.
That too.
So
All I'm doing.
Wow.
Yeah, if you don't surf, don't start. I am taking Gotcha's tagline, best tagline in surfing. Taking Gotcha's tagline from like 1988 or whenever that was and applying it modernly.
Doing the Lord's work, Chaz.
That's what I'm doing.
Wow.
Don't surf, don't start.
You never quit.
No.
Man.
Everything.
I don't feel
every
like
day.
People fully appreciate your work.
No. Every day I wake up just and slave for the people.
Well, before we get into surf news, how is Nicaragua?
Nicaragua was fantastic. Have you been to Nicaragua?
I have.
Where did you go in Nicaragua?
Where you went?
Rancho Santana.
I've done Rancho Santana. I've done the Boom, and I've done like Colorado.
Did you love it?
I like it. Yeah, I do. I love it.
I mean, to me, it was. I wrote lots about it, but the absolute perfect family. I've never been on a family surf trip where I was sated in the surf. Like by the end, I think we were there for a week. By the end of the week, I honestly couldn't surf anymore. Like,
really?
I got to the point, you know, when you get so surfed out where it gets good but not like epic and you're like over it.
Totally.
Like where I think I had what, maybe 4 or 5 surfs per day. I mean,
crazy.
I was in the water just it pumped, you know, pretty much all day. Like at Rancho Santana, the wedge there, it's so weird. I've never seen a wave that will be nothing and be good for in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And stay good for 45 minutes and then go back down to nothing and then come right back up. Like, that wave is bizarre. And the people just, like, kind of wait in the woods and then just come pouring out and surf it. But the crowds didn't... I don't know why I stumbled so badly there.
You having a stroke, dude?
I totally had a stroke. Hunter. Yeah, the crowds, though, were like, it's so peaky. That the crowds were no problem.
Okay.
Like, you just paddle around.
So, is it good on the high tide?
It was good on the high tide, better on the high tide, but different kind of good on the low tide.
Okay.
And I just couldn't... I had another stroke there. I just couldn't... It was a wave that I couldn't figure out of when it was going to get good, but it didn't matter.
Okay.
You're posted up right there at the swimming pool drinking sweet rum cocktails, and, oh, now it's good. Like, grab board... out in the water within 4 minutes.
That's the best. So when I was there in that area, I stayed at Buena Onda,
mm-hmm.
which is the resort just up the beach a little bit. So you'd have to kind of walk down to Santana or walk all the way over to Popoyo.
Yep.
And so I didn't have the benefit of just glancing out to see if it was good or not. And I never got a full read on it. And the waves actually, we got kind of skunked on that trip. But I do remember catching it good, and it was on the high tide, and it was like mixed up, crossed up peaks, and it's wedging in, and you think it's going to be a left, but you backdoor the right, and it was so fun.
It was exactly that. It was like the funnest, some of the funnest surfing I've ever had in my entire life. Just playful, like those paper thin lipped barrels. Yeah, I can't. And then Rancho Santana is just incredible. Like the property's incredible. Yeah, everything. Yeah. There's a farm that they like basically produce all their own food that they serve in the restaurants, just the farm and the ranch and all of it. I mean, it's unbelievable. The food was unbelievable. People, Nicaraguans, of course, are phenomenally nice. And now, even better, just got designated a whatever, not sponsor of state terror, but they just got slapped with a security risk is what they got. Trump administration slapped Nicaragua with a security threat.
I was going to ask if that the civil unrest there affected you guys at all?
No.
Did you notice it?
No.
Was there less tourism because of it?
Yeah, maybe? I think tourism is down. But then, like, for the administration, slapping them as a national security threat is just absolutely asinine. It's like such a stupid thing to do. I mean, sure, you may not like, you know, Daniel Ortega, the president's politics, but he's a democratically elected leader of a country. And what are you going to do?
So where'd you fly into?
Flew into Managua, and then it's like a 3-ish hour drive to...
Does Rancho Santana send a van for you?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't have to navigate any of that?
Nope.
Yeah,
but it was... But, you know, I mean, obviously I wasn't there on a political expedition, but I didn't see anything, you know.
But, I mean, the problem with the civil unrest stuff is, like, your car could get pulled over and you guys get shaken down. And
I mean, we got pulled over by a couple cops, but it was super minor. It was just, like, poke the head in, look around, and then, you know, waved us on.
It looks like Hemi got a couple waves.
She did. She that was her first proper, like, surf by herself. It's always so cold here, even in the summer, you know, she's such a skinny thing.
Yeah.
For her to be able to... And then, you know, one of our friends got a surf lesson. So Hemi actually had a surf lesson, which I just realized how bad a teacher I am, where you just kind of, I just push her into whatever garbage.
Yeah.
But those guys just know so well, like he had her out, you know, past the break and you're pushing her into proper waves out there.
Her stance is so classic.
So good.
Yeah.
Just down low.
Great photo.
I actually took her out. She was so hyped on surfing after that I took her out in front of Rancho Santana on I had an album Twin Fin, which was honestly one of the funnest boards I've ever had in my entire life. It was exactly the right board for there. Loose, but fast.
Yeah.
And pushed her in on that. And so she had proper waves on a proper board.
Wow.
Later on in the trip.
Are you sponsored by Album?
I am. I'm a team rider.
Officially a team rider.
I'm a team rider. I have a jacket.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yep.
Wow. I'm jealous.
You should be.
Breaking news. Elo abandons Instagram.
Isn't that a shocker to you too? I've been poaching it. I've been looking and waiting for the next post for a month now. There's only that one of him being sad, being sad in the water.
Which makes me think that was planned. Like, he knew that was going to be his final post.
That was done. Like, do you think that he got shamed out of posting? Do you think that he posted that much? This was like a performance artist. I mean, that he's a performance artist, and this was his performance art, this wacky Instagram account. And now, curtain is closed, Eric Logan comes out and takes a bow. I hope you were all entertained.
Clearly, that is 100% what has happened.
You think so?
But the question is, did we bully him into quitting? Did we bully him into submission?
And or he had this joy of surfing, right? He had this, what he thought was surfing, his supping and longboarding. Like, he thought, he felt so good about it. And the Instagram was just this the visual outpouring of the way he felt. Now that he's behind the wall of positive noise, sitting there in Santa Monica, I wonder if he hates surfing now. If he's just over it, over surfers, over the whole thing, it's lame. Like, you know, just turned into a grumpy local himself. Is that what's happened?
It's a possibility.
There's a lot of possibilities.
I know, I'm so curious.
Very clearly something happened.
So,
like, he was on a daily / multiple time a day post of himself surfing, right? I mean, he had photos of his kids and whatnot in there too, but 90% of his content was himself surfing for years, right? Since he got that account.
Yep.
Done overnight, 1 month ago.
So I have a theory about like Ben Gravy, for example, like these. There's others that I've thought of too. ELO certainly fits this category where they're like overly exuberant,
yeah,
right? And it's just all positivity all the time. My theory is that it's a very, very thin veneer,
sure,
and that there's a lot of sadness underneath it.
So ELO's just home depressed.
He could be in a depression right now, like, and it's not to say that these are like flawed people. It's to say that they have high highs and low lows, you know, because I don't ever experience the amount of enthusiasm that those guys kind of put out there. I never experience. I've had some amazing moments in my life, and I'm like, I give a half a smile, and I'm like, huh, that's awesome. And that's the extent of my emoting, you know? But I also never get that sad about anything. I've had some really bad things happen, and it's like, oh, well, I'll get through this. No big deal. Moving forward. Whereas they, I think, have these giant peaks and valleys.
The swings. So if ELO is in Santa Monica right now, if he's at his office, head in his hands, like just bummed at his desk, I don't want that. I need happy ELO.
Well, it makes me so sad to think that I think it's worse than that. I think he's in a bedroom with blackout curtains in bed with, you know, cartons of ice cream laying around.
I really hope, Eric, if you're listening, reach out. No, dude, please keep doing your Instagram. It's so enjoyable. I get pleasure out of it. I think so many people do.
Yeah.
It brings light to people's lives. Eric Logan, please keep your Instagram going.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't abandon.
In jest used the word bully, but totally, that was never the intention.
No.
We love the account.
We just need
more ELO in our lives.
We were just making fun, rudely. So sorry.
So I've actually got a theory.
Yeah.
Another theory, and this is where my heart is at. This is what I think is actually happening. ELO's better than us. ELO is always one step ahead of us. He proved it when we had him on the podcast.
Yeah.
And ELO recognized social media is a cancer. Like, it infects your life in negative ways. It makes you feel anxiety. It makes you feel less than. It makes you, you know, all of envious. And so he realized this is having detrimental effects on me and other people, and I probably don't want my kids on social media all the time because it's not going to benefit their life in any way. So I think that he just opted out, and you and I are still scrambling and we're checking his account. We're the ones who are now, you know,
one
caught up
ahead
in this rat race. But no, he outsmarted us by just abandoning social media altogether.
I believe you. Where is he? Is it just a person-to-person interaction now? Do you have to see ELO in person in order to get the sunshine?
Yes, you have to be in the offices of the WSL or part of his inner circle.
And everybody's just having a great time. There's Pat O'Connell, Devin Howard up there, just knee slapping, laughing, having a great time with Eric
Logan.
They're
like, I love that fancy jacket. I love those colors that you wear.
Look at your Sally Jesse Raphael's today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're bringing so much love and light into my world.
Wow. And so, well, I mean, if this is the case, which you make a strong case.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go work for the World Surf League.
Really?
Just kidding. Do you? I've been in there. That is a depressing place. That's where your theory only falls down. And I've been in those offices, as have you. It is not a happy place.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, it's not
really
any less happy than other offices I've ever been to.
That's true. I guess offices suck in general. But I think the problem with it is, and I swing back and forth on this, I think the problem with places or surf brands is that everybody surfs. That's why they are no good. It's just because people surf.
Yeah.
World Surf League, very clearly few people surf there, I think. I mean, they're selling this whole thing, but very, very, very few people. And I've heard from inside sources that that's the case, that there's only a tiny handful of people who work there actually surf.
Yeah. I'd be okay. That's fine with me.
Sure. I mean, it's good for you if you were there.
Well, no, I want the people that are actually turning the wheels, like doing the kind of fundamentals of the business. You don't have to surf, but the people who are making kind of creative and larger movements for the company, you know, directional changes, are the ones who should be very, very salty.
But I think that that's
not salty in a bad way, but like salt water in their veins.
I think that evidenced by the moves the World Surf League makes, though, that's not the case, right? I think you see them try, what they feel like they're doing is trying to react to what they think the market wants from surfing, as opposed to out just putting on, this is what surfing is, right? Like, we're going to showcase the best of surfing.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that's what they're doing. It feels like they're reading the market. thinking, okay, what, how are we going to position surfing here? This, so that's why I think it comes off as some random artificial, because it's what they're selling is no vision of surfing that anyone's ever had. It's a market-driven surf experience.
What if they email you tomorrow? Yep. They go, hey, we hear you loud and clear.
Yes.
We hear all of your concerns and complaints. We want you to come work for us and help direct the ship. What would it take for you? What would be your incentive to take that? And what would the role be? And would you do it? Or would, are you morally and diametrically opposed to the mission?
I would have to have... Yeah, I would do it. I'd have to have...
You would do it?
For sure.
Okay.
I would have to have carte blanche. Like, I would have to only answer to what? Who's the CEO? Sophie. Only answer to Sophie. And only for, like, real bottom line stuff. Like, cost, whatever. I'd have to be able to hire my own team or bring in my own team. And what else?
What would the role be? What would you do? Would you be creating content? Would you be...
I would be...
would you care about being involved in the contests? Would it be more...
No. I think the contests... I mean, we all know what the problem with the contests are, right? Like, that's no great thing or great problem. It's just too much dead weight, right? Cut the dead weight. Great. Like, there's great stops. I mean, obviously, can the pool. So we didn't talk since they put the pool back on, did they?
Oh, we had not. No.
Yeah. Oh, what a silly, silly, silly move. I mean, I know they had to, but it's mockable, that one.
I can't say enough about it. I mean, I feel like we already covered it, but sure. We're going to have to continue to cover it.
Yeah.
But I completely agree. It's a complete misstep.
I mean, it was I fully get it there. It's like, from a business side, they are selling this. This is their product. This is the only product they actually have. That's, again, from my inside sources, it's not even making money. It's just breaking even, but more or less, like, it's a break even proposition. But the break even proposition is the best thing the World Surf League has going on right now,
because it's better than their losing propositions of the actual tour.
Exactly.
In the ocean.
And yeah. So, yeah, to flog this. But anyway, besides the tank being on tour, tour's fine. Tour can take care of itself, I feel. So I would want to be on the storytelling side, on Elo's side. Maybe I'd be partner up with Elo.
What if you were Elo's boss? Because Elo's responsible for, like, getting the distribution deals done and that sort of stuff. That
sure.
was his strength with Oprah, right?
Yeah.
But creative, I feel like they could have, they could do better on the creative.
I would like to be the Don Draper to Elo's who was the boss?
Roger.
Because Roger wasn't the boss,
the silver haired dude.
Yeah, but he wasn't the. But there was a. I think there was a bigger boss, wasn't there?
I don't.
I
remember.
Guess so.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I'd be Don. Would like to be Don Draper to Elo's Roger.
All right.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, kind of pivoting, but also related to the WSL. Do you have an opinion on the interference call with Zeke and Rabo?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll explain it. I'm sure people have seen it.
Sure.
But Jack Robinson absolutely dominated Sunset Beach this last week for the Vans World Cup of Surfing. And we all love Jack. I mean, who doesn't love Jack? The guy is a savant level surfer, in the likes of which we don't really get to see that often. And kind of been waiting for him to really qualify for the tour and make some big moves. He has like a highlight performance every year, sometimes as a wild card in a CT event, sometimes just getting shacked at North Point and then doing a massive alley-oop. But this was a moment where everything congealed and he qualifies for the CT. And it all came together in a final at Sunset. And he dominated the final with the greatest heat total ever at Sunset. And he was throwing away scores that would have won the heat, you know, all of that stuff. It was pure magic. And the waves are pumping and he's getting shacked on crazy waves. But early in the heat, at the very beginning of the heat, his competitor, Zeke Lau, who needs to win the event in order to re-qualify for the World Tour. I mean, he can't get second. He has to win the event. And he does all the work to get into the final. He's won the event twice in the past. He's going into the final. Gets a sick wave right out of the gates early on within the first 5 minutes. Really warbly barrel. Gets shacked. It's chandeliering, so he can't quite see his way out, but he makes the thing. He's coming out the exit with the spit.
Jack Robinson happens to be paddling out from a previous wave right in Zeke's line. He ditches his board at the last second. Zeke runs over Jack, ejects off his board, therefore doesn't get the score on the wave, which would have been, I would say that would have been an 8-point ride or something to start out the heat. He and Jack come up from the water. Jet skis are coming. There's a bunch of melee. Commentators aren't sure what's happening. And turns out both surfers are fine. They're not injured, but they both have board damage, so they have to both go get their backup boards. No interference is called. It's just the commentators refer to it as an accident. These things happen in the ocean. Moving on. Jack gets back into lineup first with priority, gets a high score right out of the gates, and then continues to do what I said, which is dominate the final. Nobody called. I honestly was watching this in my kitchen, and I was like, oh my God, that has to be an interference, right? And then we all got caught up in the magic of Jack doing what he was doing, and I never really thought twice about it after that. I just kind of was excited by it all, and the commentators never questioned whether or not it was an interference. I mean, honestly, I don't think they even said the word once, interference or potential interference. So we all just kind of moved forward, but I put it in my notes, podcast discussion of like, should that have been an interference or not? We should probably discuss this. Well, Zeke took to Instagram, I think 3 or 4 days ago, which by the way was 2 or 3 days after the event. So he took some time to kind of let it decompress. And he said, look, here's what the rule book states. Here's the footage. He never refers to Jack. He never makes it personal at all. But he just basically says the rules state that this would have been an interference, or it should have been an interference, yet the judges didn't call it. Zeke just says kind of, what Zeke doesn't say, I should say, is that he's been aggrieved. Zeke never says, woe is me, where is my retribution? By the way, my career was on the line. Now I'm going to have to go grind it out on this QS.
A whole year.
Totally. There's huge implications for Zeke's career. I mean, he could disappear into obscurity at this point, you know? Or he could make hundreds of thousands of dollars next year off contest earnings, even if he gets last place, you know, $8,000 for last place over the course of 12 events or 11 events, plus sponsor money and all that sort of stuff. So there's huge implications for Zeke and his family. He never points the finger of blame in this Instagram post. He basically just says, here's the rule. Here's what happened was clearly in violation of the rule and nothing was done about it. And that was it. So what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's one of those real tricky ones in terms of watching the footage of, say you're Jack Robbo, right? Like, you could assume, I guess, this guy surfs in heavy waves all the time. He could have taken a different line. Sure, copped one on the head, maybe. But, and the bail the board thing was also, I mean, how many guys like that bail their boards, right? Also, though, you know, maybe you just see Zeke coming screaming down the line at you, and you were like, you know, I'll give Jack the benefit of the doubt that he did not paddle into Zeke's way on purpose.
I agree with that.
And did not bail his board on purpose.
He did bail his board on purpose.
I mean, he bailed his board, but not with the intent of taking Zeke out.
Correct.
Just with the intent of, uh-oh, you know, this is going to be bad. I either hold on to this and take one right in the head.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, whatever. So that aside, though, like, let's say that Jack's... let's assume that his intentions were pure.
Correct.
I still think it was an interference and it was a blown call. Like, I don't know.
100%.
And I think it's something that the judges should, I think, cop to. Just like when in football or basketball, when the referees blow a call, then they will come back and say, there's nothing, you know, the game's over, can't go and replay the down or, you know, put more time on the clock, but we will admit that we blew it. And I think the WSL judges should do a better job of watching paddles, because I don't think they ever do, right? I mean, what do you remember a time when an interference was called for a paddle out?
Not really.
Yeah. I think it's something that they don't watch. Even the commentators, you don't even consider that that's a possible interference.
I think you just trust that these are professional surfers who are going to paddle out of the way of the surfer.
But clearly, they're not incentivized to, especially if it's not going to get called. Why would you not try to impede your competitor if you had the chance?
Right.
Knowing it's not going to get called.
I would expect this from Gabriel Medina. Like, sure. I would expect Gabriel Medina, which, by the way, he kind of did to Caio Abelli at that previous event,
sure.
Right? In a very, very different way. But Jack could have avoided this, which I agree that Jack didn't do this on purpose, but I also know that Jack could have avoided it. Like, Jack could have paddled into the impact zone, you know, like basically to the right of the frame.
Well, and
that's what I would have done. If I was paddling out and I saw somebody coming, I'd be like, my only objective is to get out of the way of the exit of this barrel.
Especially, I mean, not only that, especially if you're in Hawaii and there's a Hawaiian coming down the line. I mean, I would cop 1,000 waves on the head and then have somebody throw coral on my head after that.
Right.
Rather than knowing the hell that's going to get paid out to blow a Hawaiian's barrel.
Yep.
Right? Strange. And the wave that Zeke was on, again, I'm not saying nothing about nothing here, but it wasn't like Chopu. Like, it's not like you're gonna cop a, you know, a ragdoll, but you're not gonna get like pushed down to the reef and it's like ground. Like, I mean, the beating that Jack would have copped paddling into the impact zone would have been easier than the beating he copped, you know, running boards and all that with Jack.
If this was,
or with
Zeke. Yeah, if this was Jorgen Cruzene or William Cardoso, even, I would be like, yeah, he's out of his comfort zone at sunset. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know where to go. He's confused. This is Jack Robinson. Jack Robinson knows exactly where he's going and what he's doing.
Strange.
It really is strange.
But because you have, you don't have to, I guess, give him the benefit of the doubt. But the fact that he's so comfortable in such heavy situations, funny. Derek on Beach Grit in the comments posited, what if, you know, Jack, he's a brave, brave man. What if he just bravely paddled right into the oncoming surfer? Like, knowing this is going to hurt and this is going to be, but, you know, I'm a brave man.
I like it. No chance.
Really?
Well, because he knows he's going to interfere with the surfer. Like,
but he also, what if he knows, they've never called this. They're not going to call it here.
I don't know. I don't think that he would do that. I just don't think. I think he has got more dignity than that.
There was somebody in the Beach Crit comments also. I think there was discussion about there needing to change the rule there. But then somebody rightly said, if they toy with the rule too much, what'll happen is surfers up and riding will aim for people paddling out just in order to force an interference call, right? It'd be like a charging penalty where you literally, you blow your wave just to try to run over the guy paddling out, which I guess would be another fun part of surfing, if everybody's just trying to run each other over.
Add a new rule for that then, too.
That you can't.
Well, here.
But it's all intent, right?
Dude, you could duck dive a surfer. I've been in the exact situation where I'm like paddling out at lowers going, I need to duck dive under the surfer, not the wave itself.
Sure.
So you duck dive the surfer and then you kind of are coming up into the impact zone of the whitewash and get sucked back 30 feet, you know, or whatever. Like, that happens all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think you can avoid any, as the paddling out surfer, you always have the option to avoid
the surfer. It was for sure though a blown call, I think.
Gosh.
I
mean, what does the WSL do? What is the right thing to do in this situation, knowing that the event's over, they already deemed the winner? How do you rectify this?
I mean, I think there's precedent though in other leagues, like impactful plays in games that would have swung the game either way that were blown calls. And the leagues, you know, from at least football, basketball, baseball, will cop to it. We'll just say we blew the call.
How do they rectify it for Zeke?
You don't. It's just, we blew the call. Sorry. Like, shit happens.
Yep.
I mean, that's all it is. And, you know, it's a bummer that it did happen, but, you know,
such is life.
Sorry, Zeke, you got a year on the QS, go grind away.
And by the way,
let's be honest, Zeke could use probably another year on the QS. He was not a very exciting surfer on tour.
I'm disappointed in Zeke's performances, to be honest. Like, I liked Zeke. I was so thrilled to have him qualify.
Like another solid Hawaiian.
He's power surfer. Like, what he offers is kind of unique compared to other, I mean, there's other power surfers, but what he does offer is unique. And he's always kind of under-delivered, and he's always found himself in this re-qualification quandary, and it comes down to sunset, you know? So on the third year in a row of him not being able to re-qualify, then I guess it's not in the... Leaving it in the judge's hands is already... You've already failed your job.
Completely.
You know?
Completely.
So I don't really care whether or not Zeke's on tour next year. But... And such is life. Things don't always go your way. I mean, Gabriel Medina, John Florence, Kelly Slater have all had to deal with horrible calls repeatedly. This is just part of the game. But I do think that the WSL needs to like you said, either take responsibility for it, but also I mentioned this to Scott Bass yesterday, is like, who's the person to blame here? There is a person in the judges' tower, and somebody pointed out that it's a collective decision. The judges vote.
But there's an interference. There's a judge that specifically looks at interference. Perfect. So it's his fault.
They need to come forward. The WSL actually needs to point at them and be like, look, this comes down to this person's decision. Who blew the call, and what is your explanation? Give him the mic and let him explain.
And or he could say, I didn't blow the call. That was not an interference.
Like, which is what they did.
There was no interference there.
The way that they addressed the Gabriel Medina, Caio Abelli situation just came out and said, here's our take on it. Here's all the footage. And by the way, they were correct in their call. Gabe was wrong. But I think that there needs to be that level of scrutiny and analysis with this one, because there is a lot of implication, not only for Zeke, but also for how we proceed.
Sure.
How we move forward. What new policies are we going to put in place?
I mean, I bet it's already in there. That's the thing, is I think it's one of those calls or one of the rules that's just not called, like, or so infrequently as again, I've never seen a surfer called for interference on the paddle out. But I would imagine if we go look at heats in the past, that there is angling there and stuff, you know, especially on certain waves where there's, like, you know, you basically have to paddle into the through the lineup.
Yeah.
That, you know, why wouldn't you try to impact the guy coming down the line? Unless it's just all that's ungentlemanly, and so it's not the way we do things.
Some people operate with that mindset of, like, I'm just going to use the rules to get through this heat, and other people operate with dignity, and they're relying on their surfing ability.
There should, you know, this brings up a good point right here. It's one of the things that annoys me about the rules of surfing, of people surfing to those specific rules. I totally get it competitively. That's what you do, I guess. But surfing should be a gentleman's game, I think, in the water. I think that the most egregious ever, of course, or the one that sticks in my mind is the most egregious ever, where Parco's on that screaming, I think, snapper barrel, right? And Kelly just shoulder hops him just because Kelly had priority and could.
Yep. And Parco
flips him off.
Great image.
Perfect. The whole thing was perfect. But the gentleman game of surfing should, like, even though Kelly was in his right, rule-wise, to do that, should not have done that. It showed him to be less gentlemanly.
Why do we give Slater a pass in that scenario, but we're not going to give Gabriel a pass when he did it to Kelly at backdoor three years ago?
I don't give Kelly a pass in that scenario, though. I'm saying Kelly should not have done that. That was not the gentlemanly thing to do.
Yeah.
Even you take a loss and save your dignity. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's a game and it's all this, but
there are
games out there that exist, so where there's unspoken rules of conduct. Baseball, for example. There's so many unspoken rules in baseball, or unwritten rules in baseball, but you operate by those rules because you're dignified.
Well, let me ask you, put you on the spot. You said, if I was paddling out in Hawaii and I see a Hawaiian, especially a Hawaiian, coming down the line, why is there a racial distinction in that?
Because Hawaii, you're gonna likely catch cracks, right? I mean, there'll be somebody on the beach who's gonna smack you up, and or the guy you just knocked over. If you do it to a Brazilian or a blow-in California dude, maybe you'll catch a fight in the lineup, but nobody's gonna be waiting on the beach in order to stomp you again.
I know of Hawaii for also exhibiting aloha.
Yeah, sure. But man, getting to go test the aloha theory
at sunset,
paddle out and just get into everyone's way, just park yourself right on the shoulder, just ditching your board, just paddle in with a smile and throw shakas.
See, the reason why I ask you is I really feel like there was some racial tension happening in Zeke's Instagram thread.
Yeah.
Where, look, Zeke has this intimidating aesthetic, right? Where he's like muscular and he's got a bunch of tattoos and stuff. But I've never seen Zeke operate with anything other than aloha.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I've never seen him get in a fight. He seems super cool. He's a little bit stern and stoic, but he's still, I've never seen him be aggressive necessarily. And yet everybody kind of equates him with the next coming of Sonny Garcia.
So I think even with you calling Zeke a power surfer, I was going to weigh in there. I don't think he's necessarily a power surfer. I think people expect, because of the way Zeke looks, but if you watch Zeke's heat, Zeke's not like laying down massive carves all the time. He can do, but that's not the way he surfs his heats. He surfs just like, I mean, he doesn't surf, well, let's be honest, he doesn't surf very good.
He fails his heats all the time.
Precisely. But it's not like he's not failing, like burying his board half in the water.
He does, dude. He's got the, so the Sonny Garcia, there's one thing like Wade Carmichael or Michel Berez even, it's these massive power carves that are like the entire wrapping cutback. Zeke and Sonny both have like a kick turn. It's not quite a layback. They're not leaning back, but it's like they go into the lip and it's like, kazah, like one big like boom, you know, but it's pure power.
I want to see some, I want to see, I'll some back-to-backs because I feel you're racially profiling Zeke to be Sonny just because of it, the color of his skin and his tattoos. David,
that's
Lee,
exactly the opposite of what I'm doing.
That's what I feel you're doing.
I'm ignoring those exact details and I'm saying it's all to do with leg strength and like the body build, you know, like they are built a certain way that allows them to powerfully surf.
A Polynesian kind of way is what you're talking about?
I'm going to say a spends a lot of the time in the gym kind of way. But don't you agree that there is some of that going on? It's like everybody just goes, Hawaiian, check, he's an a-hole, and he's going to beat me up when he's coming down the line.
Yeah, but I also think, though, that's how justice is meted out in Hawaii, right? And that's how Hawaiians, especially those...
Traditionally has been.
And the way those locals are able to have some modicum of control over what is otherwise a zoo is to, and I'm not even saying Hawaiian, like obviously there's the native Hawaiian thing and then there's the, you know, Jamie O'Brien Hawaiian thing and all that. But I think that the Haole Hawaiian dude, the whatever they're called, Hapa Haole? No, that's Hapa Haole.
Yeah.
What is the, whoever the, whatever, whoever the guy born the in Hawaii who's not Hawaiian, mm-hmm. of Hawaiian descent. I think that guy also, you know, people get his back too. Like, I think if somebody...
I think there's a hierarchy though. He's number two on the totem pole.
He
or
is.
Three or four. But
I think you drop in on, say, Cheeseburger, right?
Right.
Mason Ho's friend.
Yeah.
And I think there will be somebody waiting to at least let you know what you did on the beach.
For sure.
And Cheeseburger's Japanese.
Yeah. But then there's... Kala.
Yeah.
Kala or Danny Fuller has ranking over Burger for sure.
Sure. Yeah. But Danny Fuller is full white.
No, he's born in Kauai.
I know, but he's white.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks pretty tan to me.
He's tan, but he's a white boy. But I think, again, though, I think that that's how you have all these people coming in. Yeah. So if you're Hawaiian, and let's just talk about Hawaiian being living there, right? Yeah. Or being born there. Then I think that's the way it's controlled.
Which, by the way, I don't disagree with at all. I see a tremendous amount of value in regulating the lineup in these ways, even if it becomes physical at times. Because, by the way, of all the fights I've ever heard about and seen in Hawaii, dude, nobody ends up like in the hospital for a long period. You know, it's like people get punched out. They deserved it. Moving on. And they learn their lesson. And then they go and they wait at the back of the lineup for the next wave.
Yeah. I heard a story when I was there, I think last time I was there, about Chris Ward.
Yeah, I love that story.
Yeah, so good. Dropping in on somebody, got pointed to the beach, paddled in, took his cracks, paddled straight back out, and started surfing again.
But waited in line.
Yeah, waited afterwards. In line. Yeah.
It's good. Chris is just dumb enough, by the way, to where it's like, okay, fine. I'm not going to be even emotionally like disturbed, bothered by this.
Nope, that's just what happens. Yep. Yeah. I wonder if he thought too that wave was so good it was completely worth
that might have been it too.
Burning a guy and then taking a lick for it. Like if he even thought of it while he was doing it.
It
like,
was strictly, this is worth it. Yeah, it was strictly an equation to him.
Is there footage of that?
No.
I love that it's just one of the surfing tall tales.
So you wrote Welcome to Paradise, Now Go to Hell, which if people don't know that, they should get that book and read it and hear about your experience in Hawaii. And you told a lot of, you revealed a lot of these stories that have just been lore and named names and called people out. And you haven't been back to Hawaii since?
I think I have. I have been. I've been, but only Honolulu. I don't think I was, I think it was in summer for some reason. And I didn't go up to the North Shore.
Do you miss it, is my question.
Yes, but I also feel like I mind everything I wanted from Hawaii. I was oddly, and I guess it has nothing to do with the book necessarily, but I was in Hawaii so much for so long. Like, honestly, every 3 weeks, I think I was over there for a good like 4 or 5 year run. And so when it ended, kind of the run naturally ended, I felt like I'd done everything I'd ever wanted to do in Hawaii. I've never been the type who thought, ooh, this is paradise. I want to come move here.
Really?
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to move there. It's too slow paced, but I would absolutely spend a month there every year.
And but I think there's also islands that are more attractive to me than Hawaii.
Where?
In terms of surf?
No, just what islands are more attractive to you?
Oh, like, Tahiti. I mean, I love Tahiti. I think Tahiti.
I've never been.
Yeah, Tahiti is Hawaii. I don't find particularly beautiful. And by Hawaii, I should speak specifically of Oahu. Like when I talk Hawaii, I've never been to the Big Island or Kauai. I've only done Maui and Oahu. But Oahu to me, that's when I think Hawaii, I think of Oahu. And Oahu is not particularly beautiful.
I guess, yeah.
The east side is, where the, whatever, the ranch where they shot Jurassic Park and all that. That's pretty, I think. But, you know, like, and I love Honolulu. I guess I take it all back. I moved to Honolulu.
See, Oahu is the least appealing island to me.
Sure, of course it is.
Like, I would spend time on Maui, Kauai, a little bit. I'm down to, like, do the North Shore thing a little bit, but definitely not during the melee.
But the melee's fun. I'm taking it all back. I'm moving to Honolulu.
Wow, that didn't take much sway at all. I don't, like, the melee actually looks like a nightmare to me.
But it's fun. I mean, to me, Honolulu town and the crazy zoo of North Shore season is what, so that's what it is. For me, I don't want to go to Hawaii and chill. I want to go to Hawaii and like live, where to me, that's town and North Shore during the season.
Yeah, but what is living to you?
Just like stuff happening all over the place and like weird.
Yeah.
Weird thing here and funny story there and whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not just the, you know, strum of a ukulele and sitting drinking a Mai Tai.
So when you watch Stabs the Pickup, you get jealous?
I've only watched a couple, but no, I don't, because A, it looks like they're in an asylum, like a crazy mind control thing. Is it turning green? I saw.
Is it?
I think they started painting yellow, and now the yellow room is half green, I think, in the last one I saw.
You know what I feel about that is like somebody saw an art installation.
Completely.
And was just like, this is such, oh, I've got a genius idea for our next video series.
Stab is always real good, I suppose, about taking something that's happening in culture, assuming that nobody in surf knows what that thing is at all.
Yeah.
Redoing it in the cheapest, most surface way ever. And then, running with it.
But also, like, in whatever art installation they saw, I'm sure that it fit and it worked there. But for some reason, when they just try to appropriate it for their own purposes, the context is lost. It doesn't make any sense. And no, it's like, I don't get it.
Why are they sitting in a yellow room?
What's the point? Then, so my next thought was, oh, Vans is going to introduce a new line of yellow booty or shoe that is yellow. And so this is tied together with the branding. Nope. But it isn't. It's strictly like an art direction choice that doesn't make any sense at all. And also doesn't serve any purpose for what they're doing.
Strange. Do people like it, the pickup? Have you heard people?
No.
Positively, they don't?
I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but no, I think my personal opinion on it, and I've kind of seen this reflected in their comments sometimes, is it's nice to have weekly updates or bi-weekly updates, but it's poorly executed.
Okay. Bummer.
Yeah.
Sorry, Stab.
Yeah.
Sorry,
well, I don't know. Sorry again. I mean, maybe they're getting tons of views on it. I don't know.
It's impossible to tell these days.
Yeah, is it?
I mean, just people buy views all day, every day. You look at any one of those videos, you have no idea what the numbers are.
Yeah. Well, Balter Brew.
Sold. Big Balter money. Balter
Brew sold for $200 million.
I think Derek
in parentheses.
Derek did the deep dive. I think what it is more like $150 million, but that's the top end. So if they hit like crazy, whatever, the goals they need to reach, then at the end of whatever, it's $150. But I think it's like between 70 and 150 is what. But still, $70 million. It's huge.
Yeah. Well, who knows what the initial investment was? I think in that article that Derek wrote, there was like 46 or 47 investors.
There were, but there was, I think, 8 mains.
Oh, okay.
It's like Josh Kerr. I think there's a bunch of people who threw in, you know, whatever. It's like St. Archer, same deal, right? Where you had a bunch of people throw in from 20 to 100 or whatever. But then I think the main guys threw in, who knows what it is.
So like, let's say the main guys throw in, 8 people throw in 100K each.
Yeah.
And then there's all the other people throw in 10K each.
Yeah.
And you come up with a 1.5 mil yeah. to launch the brand. And then in the end, you sell for 150 and everybody sees, you know, a 10x return on that money, 20x return probably.
I was surprised that it happened again, I suppose. I thought St. Archer that was going to be the
bubble burst.
The one crazy. Because
unicorn.
It feels like bubble burst and craft beer in general, right?
I was going to ask this.
I think that there was some brand, one of the well-known microbrews that was purchased, I think, for $1 billion, just basically got unloaded for nothing.
Yeah.
So I wonder, and I have no idea. I'm totally out of my depth in this one.
So I was going to ask you that exact thing, is like, there, we've seen a lot of successful, alcohol seems impervious to depressions in the economy,
yep.
ups and downs, and that, like, it always grows.
Yeah.
And so you look at, everybody gets into alcohol, or everybody who's getting, not everybody, but I guess there's a lot of successful examples of celebrities who just co-brand something, like
tequila,
yeah,
Dobel or whatever.
Yeah, and yeah. George Clooney with yeah. Casamigos.
I think Casamigos sold for some
yeah,
crazy huge
exactly.
amount. Yeah.
And even I've seen recently from Breaking Bad, Jesse Pinkman, whoever yeah. that guy's, Aaron Paul. I think he's doing it with even, what's his name?
Walter White?
I think so. They have a tequila that they're doing together. So it's like people, Adam Carolla did it. Like, he's got this media empire. And so he's hawking product every day through the advertising. He just goes, well, I'll just do an alcohol and hawk my own
Guarantee.
Hawk my own product.
Except I think it's specific, because I don't think all, which I guess it surprises me that, because craft brew beer, like especially all the crazy triple IPAs and blah, 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 it's a real specific taste,
right?
Which I feel that's a fad. And so you could totally lose your shirt, I would imagine, if you think
okay.
In that one. Or there was another, I can't remember what it was called, Cold Cock Whiskey or something, which maybe they're doing good too, but it was like a spiced whiskey kind of thing.
Gross.
Where I think if it's a specific taste, you could lose. I think if it's vodka, tequila, gin, probably you'd be fine. Like a straight, you know, spirit.
Standard.
Yeah, standard spirit. I don't see how you lose.
Well, to me, the beer market is strictly successes or failures are strictly about marketing.
Sure.
Like,
I think that's
everybody makes great beer now. There's yeah. tons of great beer on the market.
Do you like drinking beer?
Not anymore, no. I love the taste of beer. I just don't like, I feel bloated.
Gross.
I'm an old man, dude.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I just feel terrible after I drink it.
Did you like Balter's branding?
Yeah.
The subtle kind of cool blue.
I like and
white.
I like the aesthetic of the packaging and all that. The beers are good. I was in Australia and I drank some of that. And they didn't just have IPA. They had a bunch of other styles as well. But it was wildly expensive.
Yeah.
It was like a 4-pack of cans was $20.
Crazy town.
Crazy expensive.
Marketing.
But so the success of that is pro surfers getting behind it and using their marketing weight to really push this thing. And then, by the way, exit as quickly as possible.
It was the same exact with St. Archer. I think both of them were like 3 to 4 years, right?
Yeah.
In and out with 10 times earnings.
Exactly.
Do you think somebody now, because for sure, Balter sold, so now somebody else, some other group of surfers is going to think, okay, let's start a beer brand. Do you think people are going to keep trying to flip this thing?
Yes, I think they will keep. And also, I don't think the bubble's burst on beer. I think you're correct in that don't pigeonhole yourself into doing like an IPA or a sour or something. Like, keep it broad, but it will grow if you just follow that same exact thing.
That's true. Okay, which professional surfer do you want to see launch a beer brand? Which professional surfer's beer would you drink?
Oh gosh. So you know who should do it? Mikey Wright.
Yeah.
There needs to be like
just mongrel beer or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
some Hessian beer.
Here's my question to you. About the hypocrisy of Kelly. So Kelly there's a video that just came out, Peter King shot about
Natural High. And it's 2.5 minutes of Kelly Slater talking about why you shouldn't drink alcohol and why it only gets in the way of your goals and all that sort of stuff. Kelly was in Super Bowl ads for Michelob last
year. I like beer. Singing, I like beer.
Totally.
That was his song. Like beer.
So how do you feel about this?
Kelly's hypocrisy? I mean, Kelly's hypocrisy just knows no bounds, right? So, yeah, I just think Kelly is, I mean, he's an environmentalist who flies more around the world than probably virtually anyone else. He is a, you know, a preacher of abstinence who shills Michelob. He is, you know, I mean, on down the line. I mean, what part of Kelly's existence is consistent?
So
it's almost the consistency now is Kelly's hypocrisy, which I love. Like, that's the one thing you can
count on. I wanted to pitch it as hypocrisy to you, but deep down, I kind of actually empathize with Kelly because I also have conflicting views on all of these things. And I think that that's actually what is relatable about Kelly is that he's a critical thinker and you can have conflicting views. It is a very human thing to feel strongly and diametrically opposed ways about things.
But I think Kelly will never even wink and nod at the conflict. When he's talking about abstaining from beer.
He wasn't talking about abstaining.
I'm sorry.
He was talking about that it'll wreak havoc in your life.
Yeah. But then he should have at least winked and nodded to, even though I got offered a lot of money to do a Michelob commercial and I did it and I feel bad after the fact, right? But there's like Kelly exists, it feels like, in a vacuum where whatever he's saying in the moment, he totally self-convinces that that's what he actually believes, right? Contrary to much evidence pointing in a different direction. So Kelly, I think, for sure believes that he is an environmentalist, right? That he cares about the environment and he is doing good by the environment. Between Surf Ranch and the amount he has flown around the world, I bet Kelly Slater is single-handedly one of the most environmentally damaging people on Earth. I'm going to say on Earth. I mean, I'm not attributing to him a company that, like, whatever, like, of a person, one person. Think of the amount Kelly's flown, think of the dang pool that he made, and think of the amount of boards he has chewed through. The toxin, like, Kelly's toxic imprint, I will say, is as great as any person on the face of this earth right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a bold
individual.
Call.
Individual.
Bold call.
Who, it would be hard to be as environmentally, personally, as environmentally damaging as Kelly. It'd be difficult.
Isn't he buying back carbon credits or something?
No, I don't think so. I mean, for Surf Ranch, they claim that they're doing something like that, but it's all a total scam.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like one of those just SDG&E or whichever their gas company up there or their power company is. Scam.
I understand that was a edited 2.5 minute soundbite clip for an organization called Natural High. And so Kelly's thoughts are probably much more nuanced than were just, you know, reported in that piece or shown in that piece. But I would love for Kelly, I would love to have long form conversation with him about, like, him admitting, like, yes, I believe these ideals. In theory, alcohol, drugs are terrible for you. However, I have used ayahuasca to this benefit.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we could post the video of that Rhythmia piece. There's that resort down in Costa Rica that has a piece with him talking about, he never says I used ayahuasca, but
it's very
Rhythmia, that's what you go there for.
Yeah.
And in Kelly's piece, he's explaining how he had this life-changing experience at Rhythmia and it altered his perspective on all things, you know, and during that exact time, you know, his girlfriend's social media account went dark for a number of months. Kelly kind of went off the map for a while and it was like, what's going on? Is he going to come back? Is he not? Like, there was, you can kind of read into it if you wanted to. And so I would love for Kelly to say, like, yes, I have these ideals where I understand that drugs and alcohol will throw you off your game plan for your ultimate goal. But I've also used these things in measured ways to just help me, like, get through a portion of time or get through, like, unwind after the night or shut my brain off. Because he also talks about he can't sleep at night and he's up till researching stuff on the internet all hours of the night, you know? And so it'd be okay, or maybe not okay, but it would just be interesting to hear him say, like, using these substances in these certain ways has been beneficial in these ways. And then it's also been detrimental in these ways. And like having a really kind of nuanced conversation about it would be interesting to me.
I wonder if it's just, I mean, is it just he's a celebrity and then has his celebrity type, his pet peeves or his platforms that he's driving out that are inconsistent with the way he lives. But I mean, I wonder if Kelly sees any inconsistency at all in his life between, again, lapping the world every year in jets, which is honestly, isn't that one of the worst polluters?
I think from the way that people report on it, yes.
Yeah.
I've never looked into it, but yeah.
And so if you really, and I guess maybe it's just me putting Kelly in the environmental box. Maybe he doesn't consider himself an environmentalist. Do you think he does?
I don't, maybe I've never heard him say that, but certainly the brands that he is associated with use that as part of their marketing.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Outer Known is all about sustainability and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, but I wonder if Kelly, if he just sees there's no problem or there's no even disconnect between building artificial, you know, crazy amount of energy that has to power inland wave tanks and making sustainable clothes.
Right.
Like that there's just, both those are the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love to have that conversation at some point.
Kelly, come on. Come on the show.
Well, we're going to cut to commercial break from our sponsors.
So excited to hear what it is.
And then we'll be back with a segment of Love Hurts and Barrel or Not.
Perfect.
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs. Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than a billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Chaz, we are back.
Oh man, that made me hungry.
Me too. It made me want to really reconsider my investment strategy.
Oh yeah.
Portfolio rebalance.
I do need to reconsider my investment portfolio.
Yeah.
It's not looking too good right now.
Or consider starting one. Well, you can rely on our sponsors.
Oh yeah.
To do those things.
LegalZoom.
Are we going to do a segment of Love Hurts?
Yes.
Have you prepped?
I have.
All right, so Love Hurts is presented by Manscaped.com. Chaz is going to present me with a couple of options from the dating world. Chaz is happily married with children and taking them to Nicaragua on surf trips. And here I am, free as a bird, trying to plow left, trying to plow right. And so Manscaped wanted to support my dating endeavors, so they have sponsored this segment. And by the way, what a great gift to give for any male in your life. Manscaped is a revolutionary company, Chaz.
How many females do you think listen to the show, David Lee Scales?
Well, do you think I would say 5%.
Do you think that 5% will go out and gift Manscaped to their significant other?
They would be wise to. Because do you think they want to be rooting around in some unkempt, smelly male's business?
Doesn't sound good to me.
Sounds disgusting.
Sounds gross.
Well, they should be aware that Manscaped is a revolutionary company, Chaz, that has redesigned the electric trimmer, the lawnmower 2.0, has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so the trimmer won't nick or snag. You can just plow through all of your hairiest areas without concern about any nicks, any cuts. It's waterproof, so you can use it in the shower, but even better yet, the lawnmower 2.0 that I just talked about, they packaged it with a bunch of their other stuff. Creams, lotions, anti-chafing boxers. It's called the Perfect Package 2.0, and it's the perfect gift for the holiday season. Everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice. Manscaped.com. Use our promo code SURFING, and you'll get 20% off the Perfect Package, and you get free shipping, and your package will thank you.
It's a good deal.
It's a really good deal.
It's a great deal.
So what do we got? Love hurts.
Okay, so out on a date.
Okay.
Met her. Which one are you using these days?
Hinge.
Met her on Hinge. Too good to be true. Like, good job, beautiful, intelligent, drives a nice car, together, likes the same things you like, travel, adventure. But she's a chemtrailer. She's a full on, like, real. She knows that, you know, that people disagree, and she sits you down from time to time. Say you've been on 4 dates. She sits you down from time to time and shows you YouTube videos on the chemtrails, on what they're doing. And, you know, if with a couple glasses of wine, she can really go down a chemtrail rabbit hole.
So she believes in chemical trails being
legit, affecting the climate, affecting us.
But also pouring, that there's like a puppeteer that's out there precisely spreading the chemicals to affect.
Yeah. Exactly. In the conspiracy, in the whole thing, all the way down the line of there's a group of people behind this and it's mind control and all of it. And she doesn't have any other, there's no flat earth, no other conspiracy.
Yeah.
But a real believer in chemtrails. Can you hang?
I'm plowing right hard.
Is right good or bad?
Right is good. Okay. I'm all in.
You're all in to the chemtrail conspiracy.
Well, yes. I love her even more because wow. I like crazy.
I didn't see that coming.
I like crazy, dude. I mean, I intellectually don't. Intellectually, I see red flags and I so don't want to listen to her chemtrail like theory on, you know, for 3 hours. However, I'm attracted to crazy.
Okay, do you see long-term potentiality with a chemtrailer? Like, now it's day 12.
You're right.
I mean, is there a future for you in the chemtrailer?
You're right. This might be a short game for me.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to plow right hard,
initially.
Short term.
Okay, so you will break up with the chemtrailer.
Look, I think there becomes a point where it's like night 4 where I want to like move on in the discussion, like night 4 in a row of her detailing and like making me watch YouTube videos and explaining all the conspiracy behind it, and I'm just going, I'm ready to move on to talk about something more meaningful.
Okay.
And then ooh. I have to, yeah, then we're gonna have to have a hard talk. Here's the other thing is it doesn't stop at chemtrails. Like, if she's that into chemtrails, then she's also going to be telling me about her coworker who aggrieved her in a certain way because once upon a time she used her coffee cup, you know.
That's a good point. Are you saying conspiracy theorists are petty? They're
looking
petty...
too hard into petty issues. Yes. They're investing a little too much time looking into petty issues. Yeah. But I'm plowing right still.
You're plowing right until you just can't take any more of the chem. But your mind is not going to be thinking long-term at all. In your mind...
Look, once she starts going chemtrails,
you never
I shift
back?
From the long game to the short game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I still plow right.
Okay.
See, you pinpointed my exact crux with dating. I can't get out of my own way, dude.
Yeah. I mean...
I'm titillated. Titillated by the crazy.
But that's not what you want.
Not long term.
That's what I'm talking about.
But how do you say no?
So that's, so you're trapped in perpetual, playing a perpetual short game. Hoping that maybe you're accidentally going to stumble into the long game.
Until Natalie Portman divorces her husband, randomly shows up on my doorstep.
And starts talking about chemtrails. Natalie Portman might be a chemtrailer.
She could be.
She has chemtrail eyes.
Well, the reason why I'm plowing right is because Manscaped also offers the plow, which is the straight razor, which everybody should check out. But again, manscaped.com, promo code surfing. You get 20% off, free shipping, and you keep Chaz and I in business.
It's a win-win-win.
You can use that Manscaped money to start your retirement portfolio.
I'm going to use LegalZoom. What is the
word? Yeah, you're right. LegalZoom. That might have been one of our ads that played. All right. Well, that was fun, man. Thanks for that. Barrel or not, Chaz? Let's close out the show.
Let's get it.
Barrel or not, dressing up your pets.
Oh.
This came from a listener.
I'm going to go barrel.
Really?
Well, I like a laugh at a good dressed up pet. Who doesn't? Who doesn't like a chuckle with a dog wearing a skirt? Okay. Right? I'm not, again, remember when we got busted on the show for where I said, the early days, where I said I like to kick dogs?
Yeah, you got busted for that.
I got real busted for that.
Did you?
Remember? Yeah.
Well, I remember getting flack for it, but I didn't know that you remembered any of it.
I got busted in person by people who were like, no. Hey, buddy, you way crossed the line there. But
that's so funny. Yeah. I didn't know that you got blowback.
I got personal blowback for claiming that I like to kick dogs. But in the same vein, I mean, I love dogs. Don't get me wrong here, but I don't much care for their feelings. And so if it makes me laugh to put a jacket on a dog, then I think that's funny. This goes against, I guess, what we talked, because I think it was No Barrel on surfing dogs.
Right.
And I No Barrel surfing dogs. I can't remember why I initially No Barreled, but now, if it wasn't this, it is this now. I'm just bored by them, but I'm not bored by a dog dressed up as John Travolta in Grease.
So you're barrel for the comedic effect.
Yeah.
What if it's just somebody that has a sweater on the dog because they're worried about the dog getting cold?
Well, that's just silly.
Yeah.
But I'll still give him a barrel just for making the dog uncomfortable.
Okay.
For sure that dog doesn't want to be wearing a sweater.
I think dogs have wherewithal.
Yeah.
For cold weather.
They do. That's what they're,
I mean, we're in Southern California. It doesn't get cold. You know?
Nope.
Like, a dog can survive Southern California.
I'm a big barrel, I guess.
Barrel on dressing up your dogs.
Yeah. Are you?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't feel strongly about it one way or the other, to be honest.
I didn't until we started talking about it. Now I feel real happy about dressing up dogs.
Yeah. Do you have a dog?
I do. A chihuahua.
I forgot. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Thunderstruck.
Do you ever dress he or she up?
Thunderstruck does not. It's really my daughter's dog, and I think she would try to dress her up more, but she's kind of squirrely and then just gets embarrassed about what she's wearing and goes and curls up under a blanket. Mm. So she has shame when she's dressed up, which that's funny too.
Yeah, that is funny.
An ashamed dog is real funny.
Totally. Dude, especially when like they're doing their business.
Yeah.
You're walking your dog, they're taking a dump, and they're like, they don't want to be looked at while they're you could tell that they
deep shame.
They do. And they'll like glance up, like they'll try to make eye contact and realize you're looking and then like look away.
You know? Dog shame is really funny.
Nobody looked at while they're taking a dump. Period. No. That is universal, human or animal.
That's why we love dogs. Dogs are just like us. They have shame.
But we're forcing that up. We're foisting that upon them.
Forcing shame. That's why it's like near, that's why it's akin to kicking a dog.
Yeah. It really is. All these people who are listening, thinking of their loving dog at home, don't realize that they're actually doing more damage to that dog. Putting it on a leash, making it take a dump while you're staring at it is the worst thing you could do to that dog.
Just imagine if somebody did that to you. If any time you had to go use the restroom, you had to go squat outside while people walked by and
while they're holding a leash on it.
Tried to make eye contact with you.
By the way, there's probably websites devoted to that.
Exactly. There is.
There's also listeners. There's one listener right now going, I'm so into that. Like, oh my God, you guys have just gotten me so. All right. So barrel on dressing up pets.
Yes.
All right. Barrel or nah. This is a little more heartfelt one, and it's for the holiday season, kind of. Barrel or nah. Giving homeless people cash.
Ooh. This is a good one. I'm going to go barrel on giving homeless people. Like, I do not like the whole the paternal sort of, you homeless person, I know if I give you cash, you're going to go buy drugs or alcohol. So
yeah,
I'm going to give you some food, a bag of white bread and other stuff. But like, paternalness, if you're going to give, just give, right? Like, if you want to give a bag of food, then give a bag of food. But don't be paternal about it, I think. Like, to treat a homeless person, even if they're all alcoholic drug addicts, to assume or that somehow you have an elevated sense of morality, and so you are going to give a stalk of broccoli to that homeless person is dumb. Just give or don't give, but don't be paternal.
Yeah. Okay. So Beryl. See, I was conflicted with this the other day. Pull off on an exit in Orange County, and there's a homeless person there with a cardboard sign. And I don't feel the paternal thing, but I just feel like I can't solve the problem.
Sure.
And I'm actually fine if they spend the money on drugs and alcohol. I don't care about that. Like, good, go get it. I just feel like there's no amount of money that I could give that would solve this problem. And I'm going to see other homeless people in the coming days. It will only basically drain me of my resources. And I'm not sure that if I gave this to you, that it would actually solve any of your problems or the next person's problems. I think if I did feel like I could, if I saw a direct effect in that person's life for giving them the $5,
every ocean,
then I would do it.
Every ocean begins with a drop of water, David Lee Scales.
Does it?
I think so.
I don't know that it does. To me, the opposite of that is, no, just... take one drop out and it's no different. Add one drop and it's no different.
I'll tell you what makes me mad about homeless people. I don't like dirty homeless kids who have German Shepherds that are all the same color as their German Shepherd. You know what I'm talking about? The like kind of runaway beggar kid who's like ran away at 18 and now is 22 and they're with another group. They've found all their clothes are the exact same color of just like dinge. And they sit with their German Shepherds for some reason that are all the same color as them. And then real kind of lazily panhandle.
So you're mad at the color beige, or you're mad that they don't have access to a washer?
I'm mad that they just like that. That's a lifestyle choice of turning beige and then being in everybody's way all beige and then half-heartedly panhandling. Like, those are the kids that I want to yell, get a job to.
Okay.
I feel like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn style with the beige, the homeless, the younger homeless as a lifestyle thing.
But I like that they match.
Yeah, I mean, they just accidentally match. They match because they've all turned beige. Mm. And that beige is like, and it's a dark beige. It's unattractive.
Okay.
Yeah, not into it.
It's mulch.
Yeah. They're the color of mulch.
You're just mad at mulch.
Yeah. I don't like mulch. Don't like mulch in. Yeah, not into it. I go out of my way to like try to be rude, to kick their coin cups and stuff over. That brand of homeless youth, homeless runaway youth.
So they're also really I think we talked about psychics in the past, where there's probably like legitimate people who are like connected to the spiritual world, but there's so many charlatans that it gives all psychics a bad name. This is the same thing,
yeah,
where it's like there's sincere homeless people who could benefit from a dollar,
yeah,
or a quarter even.
Yeah.
But all of these other people are contaminating the well so that I am now disgruntled. I'm not going to give any of them money.
You're shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of all the mulch.
All the dang mulch.
Interestingly, our next and final Beryl or Nah is mulch colored.
Ooh.
Beryl or Nah. Pumpkin flavor.
Yeah, no Beryl. I have now accepted that pumpkin pie is a thing that comes out in life, and I will even take a slice of pumpkin pie, but pumpkin down on the list of flavors, no. The people who go to Starbucks and get like pumpkin spice lattes, all pumpkin as like the flavor of the holiday season.
Yeah.
Is yuck.
If you try to get a scone tomorrow morning or a cinnamon roll, the odds are they're also going to have a pumpkin flavor of that thing.
Yep.
If you try to get a sandwich today, there's going to be a pumpkin flavor squab bread or something. You know?
So yucky.
You're over it.
I'm total. Do you like it?
I love pumpkin pie.
Are you a big fan of pumpkin pie?
Yeah.
Your pumpkin pie over
all comers? What is your favorite kind of pie?
Apple.
Really?
Sure.
You're just saying you don't really like pie, David Lee Scales.
I do. I love pie. I love pie. But picking a favorite is like picking your favorite kid.
Do you like
rhubarb
pie? Turns out
I do have a favorite kid. It's apple pie.
Rhubarb pie.
I don't encounter it that much, but I'm open to it.
I'm rhubarb all day, every day.
Straight rhubarb or rhubarb apple?
No, rhubarb pie. Just straight.
Straight rhubarb.
They'll cut it all the time, which frustrates me. Yeah. But a rhubarb pie,
okay.
Flaky crust.
I'll need you to introduce me to one.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try to find one that's good.
Bake one for me.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. I'll bake a rhubarb pie.
I would love that.
I baked Eric Elo a cake, so I can bake you a pie.
You baked Elo a cake?
Yeah. And then I mailed it to him.
Remember? No way.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't read this piece.
Oh, no. It was a video. It was a video series.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
I baked Elo a cake, and then I took it to the post office and mailed it to him. I never even heard a thank you. Never got
that's
nothing.
Rude.
I literally mailed it to Eric Logan, to the World Surf League, Santa Monica, .. care of Eric Logan. Didn't hear nothing. How many people have sent you a cake?
None.
Would you thank them if they sent you a cake?
I would. I would also be very suspect as to whether or not it was poison.
Wait a second here. Is Eric Logan dead?
Are you admitting to poisoning the cake?
No, but did he get kidnapped or something?
Oh, man. We haven't seen him.
We haven't seen him on Instagram. I never got a thank you for a cake that I slaved over. At the very least, you acknowledge receipt of the cake.
At the very least.
I mean, how many people bake you a cake? It's a very rare thing to get. Yeah. And so just to shine it off, that's rude. So, but makes me think that, is he not there? Is he vacated?
I guarantee that there is a listener right now who is a private investigator.
Yep.
And we need to use our manscaped.com promo code surfing money to hire this investigator.
I'm so behind you. Because I feel scared for Eric.
I'm concerned for him.
For Eric, yeah.
It's the holidays. His family needs him.
Now more than ever.
Yeah.
Eric Logan, if you're out there, please reach out.
I'm going to contact our investigator will contact all of the surf photographers in Manhattan Beach and El Porto to find out. Has he been in the lineup? Have you noticed a really bright wetsuit stand-up paddler in the lineup these last few weeks?
Guess what I just got myself? What? A really bright wetsuit.
Did you really?
Yeah.
From Billabong?
Yeah.
Wow.
You in? You going to join me? You going to join me in the lineup?
No, I'm
me
all
and
black.
Eric?
All black, no logos. That's my MO.
Eric, though.
I told you, I have a subtle beauty. You have to stick around to appreciate
it. Okay.
All right, Chaz. Well, beachgrit.com is where people go to see your work, and they want to learn about shark migration patterns and attacks.
It's really good. Where they learn to not surf, to stop surfing. Exactly. Come to Beach Grit to stop surfing. Beach Grit is expanding, by the way. Did you know that?
No. Into what?
We have an expanded line of still surf, of course, but we're going to expand into beach news now, too.
Oh.
Do you like that?
Okay. I do like that.
Things that touch the ocean.
What if people don't... Well, they do want to buy their Manscaped gifting products this season, but they want to also buy apparel. Where would they do that?
You do it at the Beach Grit store. We have a fantastic tab up there. I do believe there's some even holiday sale items.
Really?
I think things are on sale in the store.
Cyber Monday indefinitely.
Forever.
Nice.
Beach Grit cares about you.
And if people want to surf more often, album surf would be the way to do that.
Those stinking boards down there, I'm gonna go feel one. I'm gonna go put one under my arm.
Fondle it, dude.
I'm going to.
Caress.
Do they have future fins in there?
I didn't check.
I'm gonna go check.
But I'm sure
they've
got
fins.
Pro boxes for sure.
That's like exciting.
Professional grade boxes. All right, Chaz, this has been a pleasure getting back on track. We'll be back next week for sure, right?
100%.
Okay, cool. All right, until then.
Get barreled.